Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, welcome to Sister Share. We are six sisters living around the world who gather weekly for a conversation about motherhood, parenting, raising children, health, cooking, anything else on our minds. Who do we have on the call this time?
This is Mamie coming from Cache Valley.
This is Heidi in Orem.
And Katie in Spanish Fork.
And I'm Nettie in Okinawa. Hopefully Larae and Becca will join us soon. It is November and fall, and our topic this month is growing gratitude. What is the value of gratitude in raising children, and how do we instill a gratitude attitude or thankful habits in our children? Who wants to get us started tonight?
I can start us off with a question. How do we help our children to express gratitude? I remember, especially with a lot of little people when I was a young mother, feeling exasperated because I wanted them to say thank you. And without fail, I'd have to remind them every single time, please say thank you, please say thank you. It didn't seem to sink in. So any thoughts you have as mothers as to how to help kids come up with that on their own and realize that they need to be the ones to say thank you and show gratitude?
Well, I think that they won't come up with it on their own. It's one of those habits that needs to be taught. And I remember as a young child, kind of the hand-over-hand method, I remember taking something and mama and daddy kind of like looking me in the eye and saying thank you, or, you know, holding my hand until I said thank you. And I've tried that when my children were young. Hand them a cookie and then, you know, they're like trying to take the cookie and you just kind of hold it and look at them and say thank you and look them in the eye, and then they'll repeat thank you back. Or, you know, as they get older, you can just look at them long enough and they realize thank you. We have a rule in scouting that when you hand someone a pocket knife or a tool, like if you're cutting wood with an axe or a saw or something, you hand it to them, they take it with their hand, you don't let go until they look you in the eye and say thank you. And that's a habit we can use with our children too. When you hand a child something, when you serve them a meal, when you pick them up, when you help them fold their laundry, you just look them in the eye and you wait, say thank you, and then they say thank you back. And this way it helps to develop a habit with them. Again, I don't think they're gonna inherently say thank you right away unless they're taught.
So have you both found that your older kids are grateful? I mean, those are things we do with our younger kids, but we haven't seen any fruits of our labors yet.
Well, definitely saying thank you and being grateful are two separate things. But eventually, I believe, yes, they will connect. But it starts with teaching them to say thank you until they get to the higher level of thinking and awareness that saying thank you actually means they're grateful and they're showing gratitude.
I would say for me that my kids sometimes will, I can tell when they are grateful and I can tell when they're totally oblivious to what's happening still. But I also will say that I feel like it does improve over the years. And one of the ways that it has been, one of the times that it improves is when kids leave home and then they come back home. So I just have two college kids that came for the weekend, Hannah and Maddie. And after breakfast this morning, Maddie jumped up and started washing the dishes. And I just was so grateful and expressed that to her. Maddie, thanks so much for jumping up and starting the dishes. And she said, oh, I have to tell you how grateful I am that we washed dishes. And then she went on and on about her roommates and how some of her roommates do their dishes, the other ones don't even seem to know how to do dishes. And she was so grateful that she'd been taught to wash dishes and keep the kitchen clean. So sometimes I think it does take leaving home to recognize some things that they're grateful for. Heidi, but one of the things that I would like to have my children do is when they're, especially when they're in other people's homes or in public, say thank you without me having to remind them. And I do feel like, Nettie, your kids do that really well.
Thank you. I hope so. Going back to Heidi's question, do you feel like they're grateful? To me, so much of motherhood can relate to the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And I know I've mentioned this before, but the law of Moses was a physical law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The law of Christ is a spiritual law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's more principle-based instead of practice-based. But I do, as a teacher and a parent, believe that most principles will start with the practice, and it will lead up to them actually feeling it in their heart. So in their mind, theoretically, they need to get in the habit of saying thank you. And then, like Mamie said, as they grow up and become more aware and their cognitive abilities improve and widen, that's when they're going to connect that being thankful develops gratitude, or they have a feeling of gratitude in their heart. One other thing I want to say that Mamie said about showing gratitude to other people, I think that's another hand over hand. We go to someone's house, we get up, and we say thank you. So happy that Becca just joined us. Welcome, Becca.
Thanks. So happy to be here.
Quick, in a nutshell of what we talked about so far, we started talking about how to teach children gratitude, and we're talking about the very first step, which is learning to say thank you when they're young, most likely a hand-over-hand approach, teaching them, asking them to say thank you, requiring them to say thank you before they get something. And then Heidi asked the very good question of, well, do you think your kids feel gratitude because they've been taught to say thank you their whole life? So we were just having a discussion about how usually children will start with the law of Moses, which is more of an action, like saying thank you, and eventually it will lead to the law of Christ, which is more of a principle, feeling gratitude. And Mamie shared that her children have shown more gratitude after they leave home and have seen what the world is like outside of their home. I think that's so true, Mamie. I've seen that in my college kids too when they come home. It's very satisfying to have kids come back and say, thank you for what you taught us. Thank you for what you did for us. It's really a parent payday when children actually finally show gratitude on their own.
Also, would just jump in here. I think maybe we could have started this way. Why? Why do we want to teach gratitude? Gratitude is the parent of all other virtues. If we can have gratitude, it means that we're seeing things as they really are. It means that we know that we didn't make our bed, or we didn't make that meal that we just enjoyed, or there were other people involved in our own comfort and well-being. And as we have more gratitude, then we are more respectful, or we are more honest. There are so many other things that follow gratitude. So gratitude really is a foundational principle for what we want to teach our children and what we want to experience ourselves as mothers, which is a whole nother part of this episode that we could go into. How do we feel gratitude ourselves, and how do we catch ourselves when we're not feeling gratitude and help ourselves to see things as they really are? That's something else we could branch into.
Mamie, that's an amazing idea that gratitude is the parent virtue and it leads to all other virtues. I really love that.
Well, and I was thinking, I'm trying to remember the general authority that said this, but he shared a scripture, and I can't even remember the exact scripture, but he said, the scripture goes something like, you know, Heavenly Father is frustrated with those who don't confess his hand in all things. I can't think of that anyway, but those are the only words coming to me. But those who confess not his hand in all things. And he said, if ingratitude is one of the greatest sins, then gratitude is one of the greatest virtues. I love what you said, Mame, about that. It is the parent of all virtues.
I'm taking a theory of learning course right now for my master's degree, and we've been studying all different ways that people learn, you know, socioculturalism and behaviorism, and all different theories about how we actually learn. And it's very interesting that each one in its own way points back to example. Really, we learn by watching others and seeing what they do and then mimicking that in so many ways. And that's really true of motherhood too. Heidi, you said, how do we teach our children not just to say thank you, but to be grateful? Really, we're the ones setting the example and showing gratitude when people do something for us, or when the children do something for us, or showing gratitude when it's a beautiful day outside, or when we have yummy food on the table, and expressing that verbally and visually. That's a wonderful way to instill gratitude in our children, simply also by our example, besides the hand over hand, you know, requiring them or asking them to say thank you all the time.
I just want to share an example, something that happened in our home a few years ago that I feel like was a good example of how gratitude can change and lift everyone around you. It was Lottie's birthday coming up, and she desperately wanted a horse for her birthday. And we don't go around telling our kids what they're going to get for their birthday. But she talked about it so much and had these high expectations. I just was worried that her birthday would come and it would just be such a sad day because she's not going to get a horse. And so I finally said to her a few days before, Lottie, you know the budget for birthdays, because we had had kids ask previously. And anyway, so I just said, a horse is, you know, an exorbitant price, and the birthday budget is not exorbitant. So just be aware of that in your expectations. Anyway, and she understood what I was trying to say without saying it, and was very sad. And Lottie's not a complainer or a pouter, but the whole household was sad because Lottie was sad. And then a couple days later, then she said, Mom, do you remember the scripture that we memorized as a family in Doctrine and Covenants? It says, and he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious, and the things of this earth shall be added unto him, even an hundredfold, yea, more. And she said, does that mean that if I'm grateful, that in the next life I'll have 100 horses? And I said, yep, I think that's exactly what that means. And then she said, then it's okay. It's okay that I'm not getting a horse in a few days, because in the next life, I'm going to have as many as I want. And the whole house was lifted because her attitude about it changed. And it was incredible. And it was not me. I didn't do anything. It was just her coming to a realization through eternal truth that it's okay that she doesn't have it now. If she's grateful now, it'll all be okay and I'll be happy.
Oh, Katie, that's so touching. Beautiful example. Ray's not with us tonight, but there are two things that I think she would say about instilling gratitude in children and teaching gratitude. One is, I know she recently went to a conference and learned about what's called the awe factor, A-W-E. She said, we need more awe factor in our lives because people have so much now and children have so much that some of us have lost a sense of awe. And I think maybe the beginning of gratitude is awe. So as a mother, if we can wake up and say, oh my goodness, look at the beautiful sunrise, or look at the buds on the trees, or look how yummy this meal is, kind of bring it back to the awe of what's happening around us. Oh, look, the baby rolled over today, and kind of delight in those moments and bring that awe to children. Then I think that could be a precursor to gratitude, just taking time to appreciate what we have and all the things around us. And then the second thing that I think Ray would say, because I heard her say this before, she said when she notices her kids are not grateful for something, then she takes it down a notch. So for example, they realized that their lives were so busy they were having cold cereal all the time. And then one day her kids were like, well, I don't like this cold cereal. I want that cold cereal. And she realized then that what had happened is they'd had too much cold cereal and it was time to take it down a notch. So then she said for the next week or so, they went back to, we're just going to have warm oatmeal. And remember that we can be grateful for warm oatmeal or warm cereal or something that's a little less showy than cold cereal. And then we can go back to cold cereal and go back to being grateful for it and realize it's kind of an extra special thing. It's not an everyday thing. So I've thought of that with my own children. When I see them start to be a little bit ungrateful for something, or I don't want to say snooty, but kind of like, oh, well, this isn't so great anymore. Maybe it's time to take it down a notch until they regain that gratitude for the basics and the simple things we have.
I like that, Nan.
Go ahead, Hides.
Sorry, ma'am. I was just thinking, another thought I had of how to teach kids gratitude is I think they're more grateful for things that they've had to do themselves, just like us, you know. I mean, any meal that I don't have to make, I'm super grateful for. So I think the more the kids are involved in the cooking and the cleaning and the yard work, the more they realize the effort that goes into those things and are grateful for them. I had a calling a little bit ago in Young Women, and I remember so many comments from the leaders about how shocking it was when we go to so much work to put on activities and the girls would come and, you know, have fun and make a mess and then just walk out the door. And the leaders were left cleaning it all up. And so I had little kids at the time, but I remember because of all the comments I heard, I just thought I've got to teach my kids not to be these girls, you know? And so, as my kids have grown older, I've made it a point to say, stay after the activity and help clean up. And I think that like, it's helping them realize somebody just put on this activity for you and there's a mess to clean up. It's not just something you can go and enjoy and walk out of. Like somebody did this for you and there's a mess to clean up and put away. And, so anyways, it's just been a good thing for my girls to realize that, to stay after, to clean up the mess, to sweep the floor, to wipe off the tables. I think it's taught them something about gratitude.
Heidi, that's perfect. Work builds gratitude. I agree.
I agree too. And the other principle I was going to bring in is less is more. Less is more. If you have the story from General Conference about the little boy that had one car that he just loved and loved and loved and played with it all the time. And the neighbor who knew that the family didn't have a lot of money wanted to do a service to the little boy. And for his birthday, gave him a bunch of cars that he could play with, little matchbox cars. And the next time the neighbor came over, the little boy wasn't playing with any of them. And the principle there is that when we have less, then we appreciate it more. So like you said, Nettie, taking it down a notch, when I am cleaning out my house, I will often consider, is this a toy that we need, or are there other toys that my children already have that can take the place of this? Do we really need this toy, or can we do without a little bit so that we can appreciate what we really do have? Nettie, going along with that, I think years ago, you also told me that you decided you wanted to teach your children gratitude by having them share. So instead of handing them a piece of licorice, you'd hand them a piece of licorice and say, share this with your sister, or something to that effect. Maybe you could expand on that.
Thanks for the reminder, Mame. Yeah, the same thing about the world is not just about me. Let's share with someone else. So if you are handing out treats, it's always nice, cut it in half, give some to someone else. And that's a minor lesson that will help later in a major way. One thing that bothers me because of how we were raised is when people are ungrateful for food. And I think with the abundance in the world today, we can be cautious about, especially for example, when we go out to eat with our children. Again, like you said, Heidi, somebody prepared this, somebody cooked it. We didn't have to, and we don't have to do the dishes. We can just sit and eat it and then leave. but we should always express gratitude for it. And I think that it's important. Even I've sometimes seen even adults who go out to eat and then they say, oh, well, that was the worst salad I've ever bought, or that's the worst chicken I've ever tasted. I think we have to be cautious of things like that. We might be rich enough to talk about all the different meals we've had and compare and contrast, but really we should just be grateful, especially in front of our children, after we've spent the money and gone out to eat. Maybe we won't go back to that restaurant again, but I think it doesn't do any good to say, well, that was terrible, I'll never go back there. I think it would be wiser to say, that was delicious, I'm thankful for the people who made it. I'm grateful they made it for us. So that's one thing I've noticed as our family gets older and we have more teenagers, is reminding children to be grateful for food. I want to say one other thing on that point, and that's that our son is in Cambodia right now, and this is the first third world missionary we've sent out from our home, and it has been extremely humbling to hear his stories every week when he calls and read his letters. And three things he said that have just stuck with me. First of all, the first week he called, we picked up the phone and he just said, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything you did for our lives. And our family is so blessed. He said, I will never be ungrateful again. After observing the third world country where he is and the people that are so poor. And then the second thing he told me is that he said, everything feels unkempt here. And I can't manage it. And it's overwhelming to me to think that I want to help all these people. But he said, one thing I did do is I went home and I cleaned the whole apartment where I live. He said, that's one thing I can manage. And it occurred to me that maybe gratitude helps us to live clean lives, because we can manage that space. He's not living in a fancy place, but he can make sure that the cupboards are wiped out and the floor is clean and the dishes are washed. That's one thing that he can manage. And it's just been really interesting to me to see his level of gratitude grow. The third thing he said to me that I've just been pondering on is, thank you for teaching me to hang up my laundry, even if we had a dryer. He said that skill will be used every day now, because of course there's no dryers where he's at. But he said it's very satisfying, and I'm just so grateful that I know how to hang up laundry. So I think it takes us back to the very basics of living when we can show gratitude and remember what we have. And it helps us to be clean and grateful and kind and aware of other people.
I love that. That's beautiful. We lived third world for a couple of months too, and washed all of our laundry by hand. And I said, I will never again complain about a washing machine. And sometimes I still see people complain about the laundry all over their couch that they just never have time to get to. And I think that will never be me. I will never again complain about clean laundry on the couch that doesn't smell and that I didn't have to ruin my hands to get there, because so many in this world do without. And just another thought I have is just that I feel like sometimes kids are more grateful than adults. I really think that gratitude is just something really missing, and it's such a valuable virtue, like Maine was saying. It just changes the whole way you view your whole life. I have a saying on my wall that says, do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you now have was once among things you only hoped for. And I think once we can change our perspective, it's so easy to get caught up in everything you don't have, especially with social media, seeing all the things that people are doing and the vacations and the fun things, and it's so easy to get in a pity party of woe is me. And if we can just change our mindset, it just turns our lives from night to day. If we can just remember that we are so blessed, we have so much, and our lives are just so beautiful. Anyways, that's my little 2 cents.
Heidi, the quote that you have on your fridge, actually Baden stamped onto a leather wallet before he left. Did you know that?
I think you did tell me that. Forgot that. I look at it sometimes when I'm just so, you just felt so overwhelmed, or you can't get on top of things, and And I read that once in a while and think, even this home that I have that I can't keep clean, that sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed. I mean, I remember the days when I just dreamed of having a kitchen when we were just in teeny apartments, or all I had was a sink and a cupboard. And I just thought, someday I'm going to have a kitchen with counters. And I think I've got that now. And here I am thinking of what else I don't have. But everything we have is just such a blessing.
Can you read that quote one more time?
Yeah, it says, I don't even know who to attribute it to, but it says, do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for.
That's perfect.
Today, I'm glad to remember that quote, Hides, because, so it was just payday for us. And then, so I went and did our grocery shopping today. And as we were shopping, I kind of thought, oh, this is the same old stuff that we're, you know, it's more apples, you know, more rice and beans. And, you know, we're just doing our regular stuff. But just as fast as I started thinking that, I thought, but Becca, there are things, I mean, even right now it's during a government shutdown and we have family, Kevin has family that, you know, they're out of a job right now. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I can do so much that other people cannot do. I'm so thankful. I can, you know, we've got rice and beans. We've got apples. We've got bananas. You know, we can go and pay for these groceries. And anyway, yeah. You think about other people's circumstances and it changes your perspective. You realize how much you have.
And I think Heavenly Father plays a good big role in that too. Someone once told me that whenever I want something in my life to change, I should always thank Heavenly Father for it. And I have found that to be very helpful in my prayers when I want something to change. If I'll just say, I'm so thankful for this in my life. For example, my house right now is bursting at the seams and we need something bigger, it seems. But every time I just get so frustrated that we don't fit here anymore, then I think I just need to pray about it. And nothing has actually changed really, except my attitude. And then I think, why am I so frustrated? We live in a gorgeous place. We have a great house. We have now fixed it up so it all functions. And why am I so eager to get out of it? Everyone has a place to sleep. Everyone has a place to put their clothes. And everyone has a place to eat. And that's all we really need anyway.
And you have a new fireplace.
Yeah, we do. And it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
So just some cute things that our kids have said. Somebody earlier on said kids are so good at showing gratitude. And just some sweet things from their prayers that we have never said. And Lucy, for the longest time, and she still says this, the first thing in her prayers, she'll always say, so she's six now, but she's said this ever since she was three or, you know, however old to say her prayer. But she says, we're thankful that we can all be together in love. She says that every time. And Abraham caught on to it. I'm grateful that we can all be together in love in their prayers. And it's so sweet. And Tommy, he's eight now, but for a long time, for several years, he always, in every prayer, in every family prayer, in every personal prayer, he says, please bless Mama and Daddy for everything they do for us. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they say these things. Anyway, just so sweet, the sweet little things that kids say that, you know, that it didn't come from anybody else. It was just them. So,
wow, Becca, that's amazing. How fun. And prayer is such a good way to teach gratitude and to express gratitude in our prayers. And like you said, think of things that we don't normally say we're really grateful for. I also was going to mention that we can express gratitude to our children. And that goes a long way. But when we do, we have to make sure it's heartfelt and sincere and
really what we're grateful for. But when I do that with my children, it goes so far. They're just so happy that I'm grateful for whatever it is that I fill in the blank. So expressing gratitude for our children, but making sure that it's sincere is another one.
And I remember as a child, Mama and Daddy often saying, "We're just so grateful for all of you kids. Thanks for being so good." And now I think, were we really good, or were they just saying that? Does that make sense? Like, they kind of set us up for success with their attitude. So same with being grateful. If your parents express gratitude to you, then you start to feel gratitude for your parents.
I totally agree. And I think it heals relationships. When I have a relationship with one of our kids that, you know, we've been frustrated with each other, you know, for, you know, even a couple of days, you know, it can be, have some tension. Then if I just think, oh, what are the good things I can find? What are the good things that they're doing? They're doing so many good things. So let me tell them about that and appreciate that. And yeah, maybe when it's heartfelt and they can feel it, it really heals a lot. And it heals, anyway, it heals and both of you.
Both parties, right? It heals us because then we are remembering all of the wonderful things about whoever the person is. And it heals them because they realize that they're being valued.
Yeah. I think it's also motivating. I think when you want a child to do something that they don't want to do, but instead of getting on their case about it, if you're expressing gratitude for what they already do, they're more motivated to do more.
Gratitude is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that receives. Any other comments before we finish our discussion today about gratitude?
I just have a quote from President Nelson. Our degree of gratitude is a measure of our love for him.
That's beautiful, Katie. I love that. Gratitude really is important. It's such a beautiful, beautiful principle. When our lives are full of gratitude, then we fill our lives with joy and happiness and light.
And I think we can have faith that our children will grow into gratitude. We've seen that with our older children, like Mamie said at the beginning. Sometimes when you leave home or you leave a situation and you come back to it, that's a great time for your gratitude to be rekindled and for you to understand what you have. So I think as mothers, we can do the best we can right now at whatever stage they're at, and also have faith that if we're leaving in gratitude, eventually they will as well.
I just want to piggyback on that. There have been moments in my mothering years that I have felt like I'm the only grateful person in the whole house, the whole day. And it's very wearing, and it's easy to fall into just being disgruntled and complaining with everybody else. And it's a weight. It really is a weight to carry. But when I can pull myself out of whatever everybody else is expressing or not expressing in terms of gratitude, then I... And just feel grateful because I want to be grateful myself. It is also contagious for the people around me. And it doesn't always happen that day, but when I can hold on to that and not let the other weight pull me down, then it really does change over time. So I would just say to people that are in a situation where they feel like, well, I'm the only one that's trying to do this in my home, it still makes a difference. And if we can hold on to that and keep going, eventually the dividends will come.
Thank you, Mamie. Okay, here's a little bit of a recap about what we spoke about today. We talked about gratitude is the parent of all other virtues. Gratitude opens our eyes to the world around us, makes us more respectful and honest. We want to teach our children gratitude. We can first start by teaching them to say thank you in a hand-over-hand way, but eventually that will lead to an attitude of gratitude. We want to make sure we don't lose the awe factor. If children seem ungrateful, maybe take it down a notch. Maybe they have too much. They've been too enabled. Effort builds gratitude. Chores and work build gratitude. Gratitude can be shared by setting an example. Gratitude is built when we don't spoil what we have, by wishing for what we don't have. Be careful of social media. Gratitude is a mindset. Think of what you have. Keep the Lord in your gratitude. Pray. Make sure to thank your children. And gratitude heals relationships. What a wonderful discussion. I feel totally ready for November and Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy November.
Love you.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.